I am really an optimistic person. I believe people can change. I believe nations can change. I believe things can be better. But I want to ask you tonight, will the United States repeat the sins of Israel? If you have your Bible, a great deal of our sermon is going to be from Ezekiel 32. Ezekiel 32. I like the expression, God bless America. I like that expression. It's a pretty popular expression used by a lot of folk. In fact, I do 7 radio programs each week, and I try to close all of them with that little prayer, God bless America. Because certainly America needs God's blessings, doesn't it? And our families need God's blessings. Our children need God's blessings. Each of us needs God's blessings. But I've wondered, do we even, the way our country is right now, can we expect God to bless us? Or do we even have a right to think that God should bless us? My, things are in a real mess, aren't they? Things are in a real mess. The Bible said, blessed is he whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. David recognized that people are blessed when they serve God. People are blessed when they honor God in their lives. The Bible is so simple and it's easy to follow what God is telling us. You do what God says and you will be blessed. It's really a matter of faith. If we have faith in God and we believe in God, listen, do what He says and you will be blessed in your life. When people and nations continue to sin and rebel against God's judgment, they will not listen to what God says, then destruction is brought on them. You can read it in the Bible. You can see it in history. When people fail to honor God, then punishment comes. Psalm 9, verse 17 has to be one of the most sobering verses in all the Bible. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. He said the individual who's wicked is going to hell. And the nation that forgets God is going to hell. Is that sobering to you? It ought to be, hadn't it? It ought to be sobering to all of us. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 19 and 20, listen to what God said to Israel to see that He meant what He said. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I set before you today, you shall go and serve other gods and worship them. Then will I pluck them up by the root out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for them, I will cast out of their sight and will make it a proverb and a byword among all nations. God said to these people, if you do not listen to me, I'm going to pluck you up by the root and I'm going to send you out. Principles still fit. Now, I know he was talking to the nation of Israel when he said that, but the principles still fit. That if we don't do what God says, you can expect to be shaken to the very roots. God will pluck you up. He's not going to bless you. How can we expect God to bless us if we won't do what He says in our lives? In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, this great prophet of God is challenged. In verses 1 and 2, God said to Ezekiel, now thou son of man, wilt thou judge the bloody city? Yea, thou hast shown her all her abominations. God says to Ezekiel, look, anybody ought to be able to see the mess we're in. That's what God said to Ezekiel. Just look. Just look at this city. Look at the mess that we're in. Let me show you. Look at the mess we're in. Got to Arizona a few weeks ago. A congresswoman and other people were shot to death. And our president, who claims to be a Christian, goes out to Arizona and he says, we're going to have a moment of silence for these people. Now here's a man who claims to be a Christian. Now, I think his religion is wrong, but if he's a Christian, why doesn't he say, as the leader of this nation and as a Christian, I'm going to lead our nation in prayer for these people. Just open your eyes and look. That's all you have to do. Oh, by the way, this fellow that did the shooting, it's on film. He dropped a clip. A woman grabbed it. And then she and some others tackled him and stopped him from the shooting. And he's a suspect in the shooting. He's a suspect in the shooting. And this is not a political sermon, but when our Governor Bentley was elected, and so far he seems to be doing a pretty decent job. Right after he was elected, I think the next day, he said in a church gathering, again, I would not agree with his religion, but he said, anybody that's not in Christ is not my brother and they're not my sister. Do you have any problem with that statement? I don't have any problem with that statement at all. Anybody that's not in Jesus is not my brother and they're not my sister. I go to Guyana, South America. I deal with people in all kinds of religions. I have many Muslim friends there. They invite me into their house to eat. But they're not my brother and they're not my sister. They're not in Christ. They're not my brother. They're not my sister. People got upset at the governor and then he apologized for saying it. Oh, no. No, no. He's absolutely right in what he said. Somebody's not in Christ. They're not my brother and they're not my sister. I want them to be. And that's what he said. I want them to be, don't you? I want all those people that I know who are not in Christ, I want them to be my brothers and sisters. But if they're not in Christ, they're not my brothers and they're not my sisters. They're living in sin. They're separated from God. Just look. That's what God told Ezekiel to do. Just look around. Look at the bloody city. Look at the mess that's around you. Look at where you live. Look at the fact that you can't even let your little kids go out and play in the yard because you're afraid somebody will come by and kidnap them or something. Look around. You can't leave anything in your car because somebody will come along and steal it. Look around at the mess that we're in. Look around. That's what God told Ezekiel to do. And I don't think you'll like what you see. In verses 3 through 6, part of what he saw was this. He said, of course, in verse 2, it's a bloody city. And then he said, "Thus saith the Lord, the city sheddeth blood in the midst of it. Her time may come and maketh idols against herself to defile herself." Wait a minute. What's she doing? Oh, she's a bloody city. She is a bloody city. And there's false worship there. Bloodshed has become so common in our day, we don't even bat an eye about it. You pick up the newspaper and somebody's been murdered, you don't even bat an eye about it. You're sitting there eating supper and the TV's on and they talk about somebody murdered down in Center, Alabama. And we're listening and we say, pass the peas. It doesn't even affect our heart. It's so common. It's just a bloody city. I work with drug court, and the judge in drug court is a district judge. And I was talking to her on the third day of July, and I said, "Do you get a holiday tomorrow, Judge?" And she said, "Oh, no, no. No, no." She said, "You can never imagine the violence and the bloodshed that goes on the 4th of July." She said, "I'll work all day long dealing with violence and bloodshed." This is down in Lower Alabama, little rural counties. Violence and bloodshed. Oh, wait a minute. He said, there's violence and there's bloodshed. But he also said there's false religion. Back then he said the people make gods to worship. And they turn away from the God of the Bible and they worship their own way. Does that sound a lot like today? You drive down the roads of Alabama and other states around us, and one thing you can say, there's sure a lot of churches. There are sure a lot of churches. They believe different things. And somebody says, "Well, maybe it's all right." We don't believe that about anything else in the world. Berlin, how wide is this? No, it's 24 inches. Now, he must have built it. He's shaking his head. How wide do you think this is? 24. Oh, two of us think it's 24. How wide do you think this is? Oh, now we got another answer. Huh? Did you build it? Not that wide. You know, there's a way we can find out. Oh, what if somebody said, now I know all these fellows. I know all these fellows and they're all good men and they all must be right. Huh? That's what people want us to say religiously. You know, I know this preacher and I know this preacher and I know this man. It's all right. It can't be all right. There's a way we could find out. We could take a ruler or a tape and we could measure this and we'd know for sure exactly what was right. There's a way we can find out what's right religiously. We can go right to our Bible and we can read our Bible and we can find out exactly what's right religiously. When one church says you don't have to be baptized to be saved, and we teach that you do have to be baptized to be saved, and somebody says, well, maybe it's all right. Nope, can't be. Can't be. If it disagrees with the Bible, it's false religion. Everybody listening to me? If it disagrees with the Bible, it's false religion. That's why you got to study the Bible for yourself so you'll know the difference in right and wrong. But something that disagrees with the Bible is false religion. God said, Ezekiel, look, there's bloodshed everywhere and there's false religion everywhere. You can believe anything you want to in our part of the world. You don't want to believe in hell? There's a large religious body that you could join up with and not have to believe in hell. You want to believe that God was a man just like you are and that He became a good man? He became a good man and then eventually He became God? There's a church you can join up with that believes that. You want to believe that people are doing modern day miracles just like they did in the Bible when nobody does it? There are lots of churches you could join up with that believe that. I think about, like when tornadoes come and hurricanes come. We've had a couple of real wicked hurricanes down. We live 120 miles inland from the coast, and we had a hurricane that must have blown down 10,000 trees in the county that we live in. It blew the power lines on the ground in so many places. I told my wife that it will be weeks before we'll have any current. Thankfully, the people worked hard and got our current up a lot quicker. We probably weren't out of current for about a week. But it's amazing what damage they did. Probably between where we are and the coast, there are several hundred preachers who claim to work miracles. I wonder why one of them, just one of them, didn't go out there and say, peace be still, and stop that thing. I wonder why. The trees were on their houses just like on other people's houses. Their current was off. Their cars were damaged. Just like everybody else. Oh, there's so much false religion. Go to churches that I could throw a rock and hit their building from ours, and they'll baptize little babies. Go to one that I might have to throw twice to hit it, and they'll teach that little babies inherit sin, and they're born sinners. I went to a funeral with that old boy priest. A little baby had died, and he said to the mama and daddy, I cannot tell you for sure that this little baby went to heaven. Now, even if he believed that, what a horrible thing to say at a funeral. What a horrible thing, and I told him it was. Little baby had died. And he said, I can tell you for sure. Little babies are born pure and clean and innocent, and when they die, they go to heaven. Everybody understand that? And the guy that said opposite's a false teacher. No, he may be a good moral man. He may do some decent things in our community. But he's teaching people things that are going to cost people their soul. Everybody listening to me? Ezekiel, look, see what you see. Open your eyes. Tell me what you see. Do you see all the bloodshed? Do you see all the murders? Do you see all the horrible things that are going on? And do you see the false religion that's there? And then, sometimes my brethren say, you know, don't point out things that are wrong. I love this lady, and she's gone on into eternity now, and I'm not her judge. That's God's business. But she told me one Sunday morning, she said, I'm bringing a neighbor with me to church tonight. I said, oh, that's wonderful. But then she said, please don't preach about the church or baptism or worship. I said, sister, have you lost your mind? What are you bringing her for if you don't want to hear the truth? What are you bringing her for? Where Janice and I lived for 13 years, family beside us were, they were some of the best folks I've ever known in the world morally. We talked to them constantly, invited them to services many times, tried to teach them often. Finally, one night, this lady went to a gospel meeting. Now, she didn't become a Christian, but I am so thankful for one thing. I told the brother that was preaching, I said, look, our neighbor's here. I want to be sure she hears the gospel. And she heard it that night. And I'm forever grateful to the man who was preaching because he did just what he should have done. He gave her an opportunity to go to heaven. I'd hate for somebody to come in and hear me preach and then walk out and come judgment day. I'm standing back here watching them be judged and God says, why don't you obey the gospel? And they say, gospel? What did I do to obey the gospel? What are you talking about? You know, I heard this fellow preach. You see Charles Box sitting back there? I went over there where he preaches a time or two and I heard him preach and I never heard any of that. Wouldn't that be horrible? I'd be trying to hide, but you can't hide anywhere. False religion. There it is, Ezekiel. Look at the bloodshed. Look at the murders. And now it's in Montgomery. They keep up with the score. I forgot just what the number is this year. They say like it may be up to 19 or 20 or something. We've only had 19 murders this year. We are three less than we had last year. Only 19 or whatever the number is. Only 19 people murdered. Look at the violence in our world. Then, not only that, but he named a whole bunch more sins in verses 7 through 12, where he just names a bunch of sins. One, he said, that the people did not honor their father and mother. In thee they set light by father and mother. In thee they have dealt by oppression with the stranger. In thee they do vex the fatherless and the widow. Look at what he said. They don't have any respect for their fathers and mothers. You think that happens in our society today? Where children have no respect for fathers and mothers? By the way, young people, when your mom and daddy tell you something, listen to them. And you say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and they shouldn't have to tell you but. Everybody listening? They shouldn't have to tell you but one time. One time. And when mom and dad tell you something, don't do this. You are not doing your child any favor by letting them get by with disobedience. That is not love. That is not honoring to God. I thought I'd never forget this little kid's name. I'm brain dead on it right now. If this is your name, forgive me, or your kid's name. I was at a barber shop one day. This little boy must be about 7 or 8 years old. Three barber chairs, two barbers, so one chair is empty. I'm sitting there reading my Bible or whatever book I had in my hand. I'm watching, and I see this little boy, and I know what he's thinking. He's thinking about getting in that barber chair. So he jumps up, and he runs across there, jumps in this chair, and it spins around about two or three times. And his mother says, Johnny, come sit down. Little boy smiles and comes and sits down for about a minute. And you can just see it churning inside him. In a minute, he jumps up, runs at this chair, and it spins around four or five times. And his mother said, not Johnny this time, a little louder, but she says, John, come and sit down. John smiles, comes, sits down. I'm watching him. About a minute, he hits that chair and it spins around and around. John Henry, I told you to come sit down. And this goes on and on and on, and it gets John Henry and whatever his last name is, Wilson or whatever it was, John Henry Wilson. When your daddy gets home, must have happened 8 or 9 times. If I had done that to my mom and daddy, I'd be a dead boy. Huh? Now, I think he was just kidding with me, but I don't know. One day, a few years ago, maybe 8 or 10 years ago, my daddy and I walked out toward the back of the house and out toward his pasture, and a little tree growing there. And I said, "Daddy, when I was a little kid, that little bush there, and now this tree there, when did you put that there?" He said, "Oh, it's the same tree." I said, "No, it can't be." He said, "Yeah, when we quit pulling limbs off of it, it grew up." I think he was just messing with me, but I understand what he was saying. Listen, children, honor your parents. When you start driving, some of you old enough to start driving, and mom and dad tell you to be home at 10 o'clock, that doesn't mean 10:05. Okay? You listening to me? When you tell mom and daddy you're going to go somewhere, you go there and nowhere else. Honor your father and mother. I didn't have to do it all the time because our boys were pretty much respectful. But every once in a while, they'd tell me we're going to be in a certain place, and I'd go by and check and just see if they were where they said they were going to be. One day, one of them said, or two of them, the two older ones said, "Daddy, we don't mind you coming by and check. We're going to do our best to be right where we told you. We don't mind you coming by and checking. But when you come by, please don't drive the church van." Listen. What you see, Ezekiel, I see children dishonoring their parents. What would you see in our land today? Look around. What would you see? Not only that, but look at what else he said. He said, "I see people doing dishonest business. They cheat foreigners. They cheat people that are ignorant as to how the business is being conducted. They find ways to cheat people in business deals." What goes on in our world today? People cheat others in business. And I think some of the ugliest sins, he said, they take advantage of orphans and widows. They take advantage of orphans and widows, helpless people. They take advantage of them. They come in and they charge them too much, or they steal what they have. They find some ways to take advantage of the fatherless and the widows. They don't respect the Sabbath days. They don't respect God's holy things. They are vulgar. They are guilty of adultery and fornication and incest. This is almost sickening, but listen to what he said. This is verse 7. After he said they have vexed the fathers and the widows, he goes on to say in verse 8, "Thou hast despised mine holy things, hast profaned my Sabbaths. In thee are men that carry tales to shed blood. In thee they eat up the mountains. In the midst of thee they commit lewdness. In thee do they discover their father's nakedness. They have sex with their stepmothers." That's what he's talking about there. "They humble her that was set apart for pollution. One hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife. Another hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law. Another in thee hath humbled his sister," his stepsister, or half-sister, I guess, rather, half-sister, "his father's daughter." Does that sound like society today? Take a look. Open your eyes and see what's happening in our world today. It's a horrible, horrible thing that's happening. Now, what is God's response to all of this? Verses 13 through 16. Look at God's response to this. God said, "Therefore I have smitten my hand at thy dishonest gain." God said, "I'm going to shake my fist. I've smitten my hand at your dishonesty. I'm going to shake my fist at this dishonesty and this corruption and this evil." Hey, anybody want God shaking their fist, His fist at them? We better be doing what He says then, hadn't we? And listen, I don't know how our world compares with the world in Noah's day or with Sodom and Gomorrah when God rained fire from heaven. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of wickedness and corruption in our world today. A lot of it. Enough that we ought to be alarmed to the core. We ought to be shaken to our very existence. God promised these people that He would punish them, and they had become so corrupt, God said, I won't change my mind about it. You are going to receive this punishment. You'll be humiliated in the eyes of other nations. You'll be humiliated in the eyes of other nations. Now, what did Israel's sin make them like? You know, we would hope that we could be like the gold and the silver refined in the furnace. But in verses 17 through 22, God says to Israel, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, the house of Israel to me become dross. All they are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace. They are even the dross of the silver. They're not the silver. They're not the good part. They are the trash that's left when the silver is burned. That's what Israel is. Wow, what an illustration that is. Here's God's nation. Should be powerful, strong people, honoring God in the way they think, in the way they talk, in the way they live. And God said, you're like trash burned out of the silver. That's what you're like. Like the trash that's burned out. I don't want to be that way, do you? I don't want to be that dross, that trash that's burned out of the silver. God was disgusted with these people. God's a consuming fire, a jealous God. And I don't know what you think about it, but I think God deserves better than we've done for Him. I think God deserves better than most of us as families have done for Him. And honestly, I think God deserves better than most churches of Christ have done for Him. I really do. I think He deserves better than what we've done. I'll tell you just another quick thing or two and then we're done. Israel's sins involve people from all levels of society. This problem that Israel's dealing with, all kinds of people were involved. The prophets, they took away God's spiritual things and had people put to death. The prophets didn't have enough courage to say what God wanted said. Let me tell you something. We wouldn't be having all the problems that we're having in the church today if our preachers had just kept preaching like preachers used to preach. I gave my brethren a sermon back home back a few months ago. I was thinking about one day how long I'd been preaching, and I was thinking about getting old and the years come before you know it. And I was thinking, you know, I've been preaching all these years. What am I going to do? You know, people are changing. Things are changing. What am I going to do? And so I titled my sermon, I Will Just Keep Preaching It. You know, I preached it for all these years, and I don't see any reason to change now. You know, I'll just keep preaching it. And if our men had just kept preaching it, we wouldn't have been in the problems we're facing now. And if the prophets of old, this is what God says through Ezekiel, if the prophets had just kept preaching like they should, the nation wouldn't have been in that mess that they were in. If those men had just kept preaching, but they stopped their preaching. The priest of Israel ignored God's law. These men who would conduct the public worship and offer the sacrifice after the animal was slain. Now I hope you understand that and know it from reading the Bible. When you brought an animal to be sacrificed, the priest didn't kill your animal. You did. You put the knife at the throat of that pretty calf and you cut the throat and you saw the blood come out because it's your sins that are being dealt with. All the priest did, once you had killed the animal and cut it up properly, then the priest offered the burnt part of it as a sacrifice to God. But you killed that animal. It's your sins that caused that if you were a Jew. It's your sins that caused that animal to be sacrificed. So you didn't just bring your animal to the priest and give him the animal to walk off. No, no, no. It's your sins. God wanted you to know how bad sin was. You took the knife. You killed the animal. You saw its blood. Somebody said, I couldn't do that. Oh, yes, you could. Oh, yes, you could. And God says these priests have profaned the holy. They show no difference between the clean and the unclean. They hide God's eyes against the Sabbath day. Now, the Jews were commanded to keep the Sabbath day because they had been slaves in Egypt and God brought them out of Egypt by a mighty deliverance. That's why the Bible says the Jews were commanded to keep the Sabbath day. We have never been commanded to keep the Sabbath day. Someone says, when was the Sabbath moved from Saturday to Sunday? Never. When is the Christian Sabbath? We don't have one. The Sabbath day was Saturday. A few years back, the big fear are that Judge Moore putting the Ten Commandments in the Supreme Court building down in Montgomery. What he should have been putting in there is the Sermon on the Mount or Acts 2 or something that fits us. Sermon on the Mount, Acts 2, that fits us. Sabbath day was the Jews. But he said these priests closed their eyes away from God's Sabbath. The princes, the leading men, they ripped people apart in society, physically and spiritually. And I want to tell you something, things haven't changed much. If you have money, you can get by with anything in our society. People just get ripped apart by those who have money. Some years ago, it must have been, I don't know how many years, 15, 18 years ago maybe, or might have even been a little longer. Some young men from a high society family in our town went by a bunch of mailboxes with baseball bats and knocked those mailboxes on the ground. A bunch of mailboxes. You know what was ever done about it? Their daddies went over there and paid to get them put back up. And that was the end of it. Nauseating what happens in our society. People make a dishonest living by injuring and killing people. You mean you could pay somebody to kill somebody? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. The prophets in Israel cover up their sins by giving false visions. They say, oh, God said this. This is what God told us. When God hadn't even spoken on those things. The people cheated and robbed and abused the poor, took advantage of foreigners. And God said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, and I found none. Because I looked around for somebody that would stand up and speak up, and I didn't even find one person that would. I've made up my mind a long time ago, and I'm not going to change it. I'm just going to stand up and speak up. And if my brethren get mad about it, that's too bad, because I think it pleases God. I'm going to stand up and speak up for God. I'm going to tell people you must repent and be baptized to be saved. I'm going to tell people sprinkling won't work because it's not what God commanded. I'm going to tell people there's one church and only one church described in the Bible. And by the way, if you come back tomorrow night, we're going to talk about that one church that's in the Bible. I'm going to tell people that the only way to heaven is to be faithful to God, and this halfway in, halfway out lightning bug religion where you're on a little while, off a little while, on a little while, off a little while, religion won't get it done. Everybody listening to me? The only way we're going to please God is to stand up and be men and women that stand strong for God. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I don't know how you stand with God. I don't know where your heart is. But if your heart's not right with God, if you wouldn't go to heaven tonight, if something happened to you on the way home, if something happened to you on the way home and you don't make it home, you better do something about your soul before you leave here tonight. If you hadn't repented and been baptized, and I don't understand sometimes why people wait and wait and wait and wait and wait to be baptized into Christ. My daddy was the best man I've ever known, morally and ethically, and just... He became a Christian about 5 years before his death, served God faithfully, cried when he was in the hospital before his death that he couldn't be in the church assembly. But why wait so long? Why wait so long? At his funeral, I said, oh, the only thing, I'm excited and thrilled that he obeyed the gospel, but he should have done it years before. Don't wait. Don't wait. If you hadn't repented and be baptized, don't you wait another hour, another minute. You do it tonight. Tomorrow might be too late. Tomorrow might be too late. Repent and be baptized in Jesus' name for remission of sins. And if you've been wishy-washy halfway in, halfway out, your religion no stronger than toilet paper, then you ought to get serious about your soul and get serious about going to heaven before it's too late. Everybody understand what I'm talking about tonight? Our souls are at stake. And I want us all to go to heaven when we leave this world. And do what you can for the cause of Christ and to build up the cause of Christ and make a difference in this world. Because when you die, it's not going to make a difference if you put in a big fancy casket and somebody comes by and says, "Don't you look pretty?" No, you look dead. It's not going to matter how much land your name is at the bottom of that. It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to you. Oh, while it's in your hand, it does, but it's not going to be in your hand very long. Life is not measured in acres, in carats on your diamond, or your fortune or your fame. Life is measured in your relationship with God. And if your relationship with God's not right, you ought to do something about it right now as we stand and as we sing.